Hello, 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 and welcome to the Velvet Studio, home of Ottawa's queer media. And we have a wicked and wonderful episode lined up for you today. Does everyone in the studio want to say hi?
Hi.
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 And maybe your names, that would help.
Okay, well, I'm Mike. Hi, how are you? Tattersall.
I'm Shade.
I'm Sebastian.
Hi, Sebastian.
Hello.
Hello.
Sebastian.
I haven't seen you since last night, and I wanted to bring something up with you.
Ooh.
That sounded very serious.
So yeah, for the listeners out there who don't know, Luke and I are also roommates. And I think, yeah, I know what you're laughing at here. At around 3 in the morning, I stepped into the bathroom.
Uh-oh.
Because I needed to have a soiree. And I looked up, and what did I see but the gaping maw of an angry bear?
The gaping maw of an angry bear.
We like to hide things around the apartment to alarm each other. What happened to the surprise-a-gators?
Oh, there's a game called, it's like Snap, but for alligators. With alligators?
No, it's like an Australian quiz game.
Yeah. But I had pictures of, it was cards with pictures of surprise-looking alligators.
Ah.
And so it said surprise on it. We would hide it all over the apartment. You'd like open a cupboard, there'd be like a surprise again. A surprise!
But you went to TNT, the Asian supermarket.
Yeah.
And you got... Mm.
It's like a soda.
Yeah, but it had like this menacing-looking bear on it.
Not a cartoon bear, like a real bear, an angry bear that looks like it's about to eat your
grizzly.
Face.
Grizzly, nice.
Yes, and
nice.
Just rawr, and like it's.
Are you sure that wasn't a beer you bought?
No, it was a soda.
Okay.
Yes,
that's cool.
Because on the side, it clearly says in English, "Always be sure to keep in place that is warm, and after open, put in refrigerator to keep cold, please."
Nice.
Yes. Covered in anguish. But yes, just look up and there's a big angry bear.
I wondered how long it would be before you would...
It wasn't long.
We can tie that into this episode easily, since we're talking about bears.
Our other roommate assumed it's the kind of thing that I would normally do. I was very proud of you.
Jeez.
So, Michael.
What's today's topic?
Well, I was just going to say this ties in so well since we're talking about bears.
Oh.
Well, in a manner of speaking, you know, it's all inclusive.
Absolutely.
Sort of. We're not that inclusive because, you know, it's leather.
Yeah, that's right. We're talking about the leather bears.
Or the leather community in general.
Exactly.
So why is leather important to the gay, bi, lesbian, trans, blah, blah, blah community? Why is it a big deal?
Because we're out and we're visible out. Mm-hmm. And by being visible out, we are both the target of derision and the target for a higher inspiration of doing stuff. The word escapes me all of a sudden. I'm not sure what it was, but you know what I mean? Inspiration for a higher, you know, to do stuff.
Yes.
Which is what I just said.
To do stuff.
So by being out and a target and at the same time a symbol of something to achieve, then you're going to become all and everything to everyone, including the haters. As visible as drag
hate,
is.
Hate.
Yeah, they're going to hate, they're going to hate, they're going to hate. Everything we do is bad and evil because it's us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I think what I was referring to more is the history of it.
Ah.
And I think there's a very interesting cultural history to leather that I think a lot of people don't realize. And it's
right.
What underpins... The whole
yeah, it goes back
community.
To the old guard.
Well, yeah, the old guard is a fallacy, but
really,
let's face it, yeah. So the way it works is this:
World War II.
Apparently, leather in North America did not exist before World War II.
Exactly,
which is a lie, but that's another story. The impression of leather is a post World War II uniform fetish that is expressed through motorcycle culture as well as sexual deviancy. Yeah, sexual deviancy does that to a lot of people.
Truly shocking. No, for the sake of our listeners, it's worth noting that in the Second World War, as the Germans were retreating into Germany, a lot of the Allied forces would have picked up bits of material from the SS. And
you got to admit, in terms
SA.
Of uniform design...
Was it Hugo Boss?
It was Hugo Boss.
Leather uniforms. Oh, my God. Just take the insignia off, and they're stunning pieces of art. They really are.
And they were really great quality. So the Allied forces who were wearing threadbare material, having they would snap up these, wipe off the Nazi emblems, and
wear them because if they could find one that fit, and there were thousands of them lying around when the troops receded or fled, depending on which side of the story you're on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, and I think what's important was that. When they came back after the war, there was a sense of camaraderie,
It's the brotherhood.
Community. The brotherhood, of course. And a lot of that then translated into the motorbike clubs.
Well, you've got also what we call PTSD in the day was just called shell shock, but there were other manifestations of it. And so people collected together in the brotherhood so that they had a support network. And quite often it translated into motorcycle culture and leather culture, gay leather culture, as well as other forms of masculine bonding. Mm-hmm. The last time that people in North American culture could truly bond with men was World War II. And then McCarthy ruined all that. So,
oh, yeah.
But that's another story. Yeah, we'll be hitting on that in a couple of weeks, I understand.
Yeah, I think we're looking at
that. It's a good show that we're all going to have to be in on. So then the uniform fetish pieces come together in motorcycle culture and the growth of riding wear, which is an outgrowth of horse riding wear, which is an outgrowth of, we culturally appropriated that from the Native Indians. And so North American leather culture goes beyond World War II, just like it does in Europe, but it steals from different people at different times.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Good old cultural theft.
Yeah. It's basically how civilizations grow. I don't know why the problem is cultural theft as an expression of it. That's a whole other story.
Everything's appropriation.
Everything
is. The written word is appropriation.
The English language steals from everybody.
Yep.
So, welcome to your toboggan ride down the hill.
Yeah.
And I am certain that there'll be some folks out there who disagree with that.
And I'm perfectly happy to defend my position.
You can let us know. Tweet us at Velvet Studio One or drop on our website.
That'd be a great show, actually.
Get in touch with us.
We'll go back the nature of cultural appropriation versus just cultural transmission.
Yeah. It's a hard line to divide.
It is a very blurry line. Yeah. But I think that would probably make a really good episode. Luke, write that down. Because actually there was that really good interview recently where somebody was talking to RuPaul about drag, and he said that there was a lot of gay culture that's been appropriated by mainstream straight culture.
And sub-gay culture is appropriated by mainstream gay culture. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So back to leather.
Yeah.
Culture.
Yeah.
The brotherhood, military, and biker all milieu in together into the Tom of Finland look. If you saw the logos around of Tom and Finland stuff, it's all hyper-masculine, hyper-sexualized, and completely erotic.
Mm-hmm. And it kind of predates the bears in terms of the
chronology.
As a movement.
Yeah. The chronology.
The bears comes out of mostly, I would say, the mid-80s is when it started.
Just to explain for folks, imagine the Hemsworth brothers in leather. And that's the Tom of Finland look. Like, you know what I mean? Am I close?
Except they have like a pomelo hiding in their
pants. So, you know, the Hemsworth brothers smuggling a watermelon in leather, and that's the
Not quite a watermelon, more like a grapefruit.
Well, there's probably people out there who aren't quite
maybe
sure
like an
what
avocado
we mean.
Yeah,
by
that's
leather.
What we were going to say.
So,
we should define that.
The traditional, if you want to call it uniform of leather, is black motorcycle boots. Square-toed are called engineering boots. Round-toed are just military boots, I guess, military style. So you've got black boots, you've got blue jeans, you've got a black leather belt, probably a steel or white metal buckle of some sort. And then you've got the traditional 1950s, 1980s motorcycle jacket over a white T-shirt or a black T-shirt or no jacket. And sometimes a vest, sometimes not a vest. Mm-hmm. So basically it's jeans and leather clothes topped by a hat or a cap, depending on where you're from, is what it's called. In Canada, we call it a cap. It's a motorcycle-style Nazi officer's cap style is the visual impression. And in the States, it's called a cover. And in Canada, it's called a cap from the Muir Cap Company, which made them.
And, of course, all of those stylings come from different waves of influence into the subculture.
Yes,
absolutely.
The painted biker jacket of the 50s, 60s, and 70s was adopted into gay leather culture as well, so that you can have a whole bunch of leather guys hanging outside a gay bar, and people going by think it's a leather bar. Right. No, they think it's a biker bar, and that's kind of cool. Nobody picks on the leather man the same way they pick on somebody who's visibly less masculine.
Right.
And if they do, then they generally pick on them from the safety of their mother's basement with their Star Trek figures around them.
Not to generalize.
Not to generalize. We've got some Trekkie fans here.
Dude.
Yeah, no, I know.
You know what I mean.
I know what you're saying.
Socially
absolutely
angry.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to talk a bit more about the representation of masculinity in the leather culture in just a few minutes. But before we get to that, there's a brand new song out by the Pet Shop Boys.
I love these guys.
Of all people,
that's
the
awesome.
Pet Shop
I
Boys.
I love these guys. I have loved them ever since I was a defensive shank grilling.
And they've only very recently put this out, February of this year, so it's been less than a month. And this is their song, The Pop Kids. And there's already several remixes of it, but I mean, it's the Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah, so
that's
it's
how
happen.
They probably pre-released it to artists that they liked.
Yeah.
Like, can you remix this so we can dump it all at once?
It's club culture.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've kept going. So anyway, we'll be back in just a few minutes after the Pet Shop Boys.
Remember those days, the early 90s. We both applied for places at the same university. Ended up London, where we needed to be to follow our obsession with the music scene. Wherever we went, whatever we did, we knew the sounds. They called us the Pop Kids, 'cause we loved the pop hits and quoted the best bits. So we were the Pop Kids. I loved you.
I am never going home.
Okay, I'm saying hi. That's fine. Hi. I thought perhaps Shade would jump in, but no, it's just me.
It's just you.
Just me.
You're really wired today.
Well, hang on your coattails.
He? Yeah. He's all hopped up.
Is he really?
It's the Pet Shop Boys.
Oh, that's it.
It's good times.
Yeah.
How can you not be all hopped up on the Pet
it's
Shop
the
Boys?
Pop Kids. All I could think of during the whole thing was like, I missed the entire Club Kid culture, even though I was of the age, I wasn't part of it.
I was too young for it. That sucks.
Well, you know, that just means I'm old.
Oh, I'm sorry. I remember I was close, though. I was like a preteen.
Oh, yeah. I have friends who did the whole club culture thing.
I wish. I dreamed of it.
And it just shocks me that so many of them are still alive.
I know. I was just, yeah. I think I would have been the ones who would have died.
It was drugs and it was rampant. Everything. Yeah.
Everything. Rampant. Everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, here we are again.
Hello.
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 How are you?
I'm good. We're doing what? Leather.
Yes.
Leather is amazing.
Now, earlier I had mentioned that, you know, we're talking about the history of leather, how it fed in from, you know, the Second World War and then the biker community, that the brotherhoods that formed up around that. We'll get into the idea of the brotherhood a bit later on. But I had mentioned that, mm-hmm. you know, the Tom of Finland look, kind of Hemsworth brother in leather, predates the bear community. And yes. I think, Sebastian, you wanted to quickly mention bit of context there, I think.
Did I? About what? What am all I right. talking about? You're putting words in my mouth.
About how recent the bear community is?
Yeah, no. So I kind of went quiet before the break because I was Googling, because that's the kind of thing
so
that I do.
You're so fast like that.
Yeah, I really am. Like, if I have the internet in my hands, why would I just think, I wonder why, and then just go about my day?
Usually you're just on whisper. Like, let's be honest.
Shush.
Shush.
We just talked about
I
that
put one about
break.
How prune juice is delicious, all right? So it's
just,
not...
It is the no, beverage of the
there's,
gods?
There's no juice in prunes. It's a dehydrated plum.
That's fine. Whatever.
So is it plum juice?
It's plum juice.
It's plum juice.
That's
it is.
Why is it called prune juice?
Because old people won't drink it if it says plum.
The French word for prunes for plums is
prune.
Prune.
Yeah.
Well, what do they call a dehydrated prune? A
prune
plum.
Sachet. A dried prune.
Oh.
Yeah. A dried plum. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, yeah. That's not
like,
very exciting.
It's like a raisin is just a shriveled up old grape.
Yeah.
And raisin is just the French word for grape.
Yeah.
Yeah, raisin.
Yeah,
yeah, I think
and
I've
the
just
more you know.
Anyway, so yeah, no, I was looking
right?
up
we steal
the,
from everybody, the French and the Germans.
Yeah,
and yeah.
Anyway, yes, Sebastian.
Yes, so I was just looking up the history of the bear community, the sort of bear movement, and it was more or less invented by two people.
Yep.
Who were partners.
Yep.
And 87 is when they started publishing. I think it was called Bear Magazine.
It's quite a following.
Although in 1979 they published something in some article. Of course, I closed the tab. they did publish an article called "Who's Who in the Zoo." So the whole thing about like otters versus bears versus polar bears versus minks versus all that
foxes
stuff
and,
that
yeah,
all
yeah.
came out of like one piece of literature.
It's amazing how that happens. Even the Hanky Code developed out of a spurious joking kind of environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just adopted because it made sense.
Yeah. Oh, The Advocate. It was published in The Advocate.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize that paper was that old.
Oh, yeah. The Advocate goes back to early 70s, if I remember correctly.
Something that I absolutely love, though, is a lesbian bear.
Yeah.
Like what Ooh. Now people might call like a trucker dyke or something. They were called an Ursula.
Ooh, yeah. Ursula, as in, I had no they idea. Were.
But isn't Ursula based on a drag queen? So I don't think that's very.
Ursa is the Latin word for bear.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
I see.
Ursula is just.
It's a German word. It's the German name for bear.
Yeah.
But in The Little Mermaid, Ursula is based on the drag
too.
Queen. What's her face? That.
Divine.
Yes, it's based on Divine. Yes.
Unrelated.
Oh,
because unrelated, yeah.
1979 predates the Little Mermaid movie.
Wait. Oh, okay.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure
Luke
enough.
Is bad with decades.
Yeah, but in French, a bear is such
an ours. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So ours makes sense to say this. Yeah.
We're actually not really sure where the word bear comes from because all the other European languages is like ours or something like that.
Ours, yeah.
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 It could be just one of those.
Dog as well. Dog's an English word.
Yeah.
No other language has anything like it. Hound.
Well, it's because the monosyllabic words in English are the old English and the, if you can call it, indigenous words from the island.
They don't know where it came from.
The three-letter words. There's hundreds of them.
Yeah, no, but in Welsh, it's ki.
Yeah.
It's not dog.
Yeah.
And Welsh and Irish have a lot of... Anyway, yeah. We're totally off topic.
But it just goes to show you how international leather is.
There you go. That's a great way to bring it back.
Bring it back. So bring
good.
It back.
I'm so good. Yeah.
That was amazing.
Michael's my leather dad.
I have... Yes, I am.
Actually, why?
We should talk about who we are in our organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I am the founder of National Capital Leather Pride. I started it in 2010 when I was Mr. Leather Ottawa, 2010. I'm also Mr. National Capital Olympus Leather, 2009, and I'm Mr. Cell Block, 2008, and yeah.
So, what do you, actually, I suppose, Shade, you should probably put your spiel in.
And I'm Shade Nixon, I'm Miss National Capital Leather Pride, 2014.
Woo!
Excellent.
And I have to give up my title.
Yeah, well, you know, you've had it for a year and a half.
Yeah, well, almost, no, 2 years.
2 years now,
it'll be
right.
2 years in
Yeah,
April.
We didn't do the contest last year because I moved the date because I got tired of fighting with other cities who kept changing their dates of their events.
Which means I got to be it for 2 years.
And you are it.
And
so do lots of cities have these competitions?
Oh, yeah.
And what's the history and the purpose of these competitions?
The history of the competition essentially is it's a reason to get together and celebrate leather pride. Pride in being out, in being yourself, in acceptance, and of course all of these smaller versions of pride become very exclusive and unaccepting in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But we can discuss that later. In leather you'll find everything, every fetish, mm-hmm. every aspect of sexuality. It's about open sexuality and reveling in the honesty of sex.
And I'm pretty
right
open.
Yeah.
So these competitions, are they to see the who is the most leatherish of them all?
No, it's not about that.
Some people will say it's a beauty pageant.
Yeah.
Some people will say it's...
it's all of those things.
It's reinforcing the stereotype. Some people will say it is... all these nasty, horrible things about supremacy of the ego and people just showing off. And yes, it can be all of those things, mm-hmm. but it's about celebrating what sets us apart from the rest of humanity. It's a reason for a party. It's a reason to put on your leathers. It's a reason to connect with people that think a lot of the same things and act mm-hmm. a lot of the same ways.
And to be proud of your sexual orientation.
Exactly. It's pride. And
it is pride.
Yeah. We express it in leather, and we express it in what could be considered raunchy sex.
Or BDSM,
or rough
in my
sex,
case. Yeah.
Or kink. And some people would say we're just outlaws. Mm-hmm. And, you know, manner of speaking, we dress it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned that there's the Canadian Olympus one.
Yes.
Do you find these competitions in every, like, across Canada in different provinces? Like,
Olympus
for example,
is,
in New Brunswick?
Olympus is a more pansexual version of the leather organizations and leather events. It's open to men and women. You don't have to be gay or lesbian or bisexual or anything for that one. You just have to like leather.
Or for NCLP either.
And exactly. Most of the leather competitions are completely open.
Yeah.
As long as you identify as male in NCLP, you can run for Mr. If you identify as female, you can run for Ms.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't care which way you identify, you can... Yeah, there's going to be competitions out there.
Yeah.
Every city, every region, some cities have many organizations that run events. Some, like, for instance, LA has, I think, 9 leather titles, something like that.
Wow.
San Francisco, same thing. Every leather organization has a contest. Every bar has a contest. And then you've got more regional contests, like, for instance, in Ottawa, there's Mr. Leather Ottawa, which some people would prefer was a regional contest, but it's just Ottawa. National Capital Leather Pride, same thing. It's just Ottawa, but it could also be regional, if it ever goes that way.
Mm.
There's a competition in Kingston. Toronto has the different bars that have competitions, and then Mr. Leatherman Toronto is the regional for all of these smaller titles. In terms of the validity of the titles, all of them are equal under the rules of International Mr. Leather. So all of the winners of those titles can go and compete internationally in Chicago.
Who manages the international competition?
The international competition currently is owned, if you want to call it that, by the Leather Archives and Museum in Chicago. Ooh. It was started by Chuck Renslow, who is on the board still. He's, God, how old is he now? 87, 89? He's had some rough times and stepped aside from actually running it some time ago. And it's run by some very, very good people, and most of them are my friends.
Excellent.
It's a lot of fun.
So there's definitely a strong international component.
Oh, yeah. Everywhere you find leather clothing, you will find the expression of leather as we do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So
it's been
South
exported
America,
as well, like, as a cultural movement. It is showing up in places that don't have a history of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
The last year at International Mr. Leather was a competitor from South America, Australia, South Africa, Europe, many countries in Europe, all over North America, all over the States, especially.
It's growing in Japan as well.
Yes, yes.
But not China. Usually if we export something to Japan, Hong Kong or Taiwan will pick it up.
Well, Japan actually is a hotbed of BDSM.
Yeah, absolutely.
It really
is.
Oh, my God.
They are probably the most openly kinky society. It's not in your face, but everybody does it.
Yeah.
It seems like it anyway. So
it's more that some of the things that we would consider kinky, they just consider to be like that's normal.
Yeah.
That's normal, yeah.
That's not kinky.
And in Europe, you either have kink or you don't.
Exactly.
So there's no real social taboo about it. It's just you're either kinky or you're not. Which is much better than our system.
Yeah. So much.
Oh, my God. You're into that. Ah, get away from me. Run, children, run.
Yep.
Yeah. No, it's all about expressing yourself.
I think we're going to talk about the sense of community that that builds and how you can tap into that community worldwide in just a few minutes. But peaches, you're a big peaches fan.
So am I.
Yeah, I do love peaches. Yeah,
I do love peaches.
Been around for a while.
Going to be in the next Orphan Black series.
Seriously?
Yeah, 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 yeah. Nice.
Like as a character, just as
her music.
No, as a character.
As
Perfect.
A character. Oh my God.
I'm going to have to start watching
it music.
Again.
I forget which one, but. Peaches will be in the next Orphan Black series.
Right.
Nice.
Very exciting.
I may have to actually get a TV.
So you found a song from Peaches that's actually radio friendly.
What do you mean by not radio friendly?
Well, because she swears a lot.
Yeah. So?
It's a noontime show.
But it's a noontime show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listening audience, blah, blah, blah. She has a lot of songs about how she refuses to shave her pubes.
A lot. I was just going to say she talks about her pubes.
There is a lot of that as well, and we talk about it openly.
Mm.
Yeah, that's old guard.
This one has the word ass in it.
That's okay.
So trigger warning. This song has the word ass in it.
We all have one. What's the problem?
I think that's as bad as this one gets. I listened to it.
This is new then.
Because
is she talking
peaches.
About donkeys?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's called Light in Places, which is really funny.
Yes.
And it's about light coming out of your derriere.
Well, you know what? That's the best place to have it shine.
If you have, if you get a chance to see the video, it's like two like trapeze artists or like gymnasts. Like moving around in ropes and things with the light, literally, like they must have put a flashlight there, is what I'm thinking.
It's probably a harness they're wearing.
It's probably done in post.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. It was all done in post.
I don't know. It is Peaches, so
that's
true. Is this a new song?
Saying it wouldn't have been an insertable, but chances are.
Released
just
an album in 2015, the end of 2015.
Oh, okay.
Called, I forget what the album is called. But
it's there somewhere.
The song is called Light in Places, and we actually have another one.
Hasn't Peaches done a duet with Jake Shears from the Scissor Sisters yet?
I don't know.
Because they belong on stage together.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
Yeah.
We actually have a second Peaches song that got remixed very recently that we might get to, if not, whatever. and we'll be back just after this.
last in a iconoclast. I came to destroy the past. My stargasm makes the blast. Shake the system, then surpass. Liberate, en masse, eliminate the class. All humans free at last. So much beauty coming out of my ass. I'm an everlasting iconoclast. I came to destroy the past. My stargasm makes the blast. Shake the system, then surpass. Liberate, en masse, eliminate the class. All humans free at last. So much beauty coming out of my ass. I'm an everlasting iconoclast. I came to destroy the past. My stargasm makes the blast. Shake the system, then surpass. Liberate, en masse, eliminate the class. All humans free at last. So much beauty coming out of my ass.
Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, home of Ottawa's Queer Media. And we're now national as well, which is exciting. That was...
Hello, New Brunswick.
That was Peaches. And there was definitely a lot of ass in that song. And we apologize if you take offense to ass. Well, you know, I like my ass, actually. So, yes. Yeah.
And you have a nice one.
You have a lot
he
of it.
He does.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well,
he does. Well, I've seen him walk around in his pajamas. Which
My onesie?
Yeah.
Apparently my onesie does things to my ass that is just like...
It gives him booty.
It hugs it.
You know what? Yeah. This is why some of us have a long underwear fetish.
Yeah.
Oh, for
sure. I have
sure.
7 pair. Mm. Yeah. Most Canadians only have 2.
But it also showcases the front end.
It can.
Like, it really does.
It's not like...
It, like, drapes it.
It's not like a $120 pair of briefs that is specifically designed for that. It can.
But I find pajamas and sweatpants.
Oh, gray sweatpants.
Oh, my God. Frick, I love sweatpants.
See, my dick just wears sweatpants because he's just hanging around
like
the
sweatpants
house.
Sweatpants with no underwear underneath.
Yeah. And he's just like, he's just chilling like at home. Riding. And I'm like, Jake, you need to put the clothes on right now because...
This is sending me over the top.
I know.
I love a man in sweatpants.
This is the way in leather we talk about everything because we're socially out there in sexual comfort.
Yep.
We are always in what I call mainstream society denigrated for being sexual. Do you have to be so gay all the time? Do you have to?
Yeah, but there, yeah,
why
but
is it always about sex?
It's not always about sex.
It's not, but
they're
that's how we
they're thinking about
express,
it just as much as we are.
But we just express it.
Yeah.
And so there you go. That's another reason why people are uncomfortable about leather people in their midst in public.
Mm-hmm.
Like pride parades in some of the American cities where they're removed from the parade because it's too sexual. No, it's not.
It's not at all.
It's just the impression.
They're wearing more clothes on
than
average
than a lot of other people.
Than the oily boys dancing on the floats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so true.
Not me, of course.
Like, if you're just wearing a Speedo, you are less dressed than your average leather
man. Than your average
That's
leather
right. man. Yeah. And even though we might be wearing a codpiece or something, and gasp that horrible word, assless chaps. They're, all chaps are
young
assless
man.
People.
Yeah.
And the Sorry. Village people were the most out there expression of leather culture in the 70s. and it was fantastic.
It was.
And then into the 80s. And then it sort of melted away for a while, but it comes back up regularly.
And then there was the band version of the Relax video.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. It was filmed in a leather bar, yeah. And it's got water sports in it. And that I'm not sure what they took more offense to. Was it the actual overweight man urinating over the crowd, or was it actually the sexualized behavior of the dance floor? I'm not sure which they took more offense to.
Hmm. We should Google that, Sebastian.
Didn't Joseph Gordon-Levitt recently do a show about the leather bar, a documentary about the leather bar?
There are a few.
A leather bar.
There are a few documentaries out there about leather like in general.
I like how you looked at me as if I know everything.
Because you do. You do. Often.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
You're the living encyclopedia.
Yeah, you're Mr. Google on my fingertips.
That's true.
Well, just that. He's also just a walking encyclopedia, well, yeah, generally.
Yeah. I do know quite a bit.
So, and these fascinations with leather culture by people bring out all kinds of people who want to do documentaries. Some are really good. Some are
James Franco.
So.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Oh,
Interior Leather Bar.
It's called Leather Bar. Yeah.
Oh, he knows that as soon as he said James Franco.
Yeah, that's not a that's not a documentary.
No, it's actually a movie.
Yeah,
in the documentary.
Yeah.
Style.
There's a movie. It wasn't Midnight Cowboy, but there was a major movie from the 70s.
Cruising,
1980.
There's a missing scene, and so they basically reimagined what that missing scene would have looked like, and they stretched it out to an hour and a half.
Yeah,
and so the scene that was cut out from that movie was it started with interior, comma, leather bar, and so that's why the movie is
So, Cruising created quite a stir in the gay community because people were offended. They were all being labeled as sadistic leather pigs. Mm. Some of us are, and some of us are not, And for those who were offended that gay culture was being identified as that, no, it was just one instance of gay culture portrayed in a mainstream movie.
Right.
So,
well, made a few years later, Bruce LaBruce started making his punk cinema films in the mid-80s. And I think it was 86 or 87 he made No Skin Off My Ass. And the main character in that one was a leather twink who was trying to find someone else who was a leather twink who was at the same sort of light level of kinkiness as himself.
And that's what the leather culture is full of. People trying to find people that are just like them at the same kind of levels they're at to have a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it all boils down to. And
but the difference is that in Bruce LaBruce's movie, he had huge issues the character had huge issues because everywhere he went, people were like, oh my God, you're that kind of gay. Ew. And it was, he actually had more, the character had more
and that's why
problems within the gay community than outside.
That's why we're underground.
Of it. Yeah.
We only meet each other traditionally in dark basements. That's the kind of bars we hung out in because we weren't allowed to do it in the other
place. I always thought it's because you spent all your money on leather and couldn't afford light bulbs.
God, some of the priceless pieces I've gotten for pennies.
Oh my God.
That's another story altogether. How to do leather on the cheap.
Dear.
Or how to be cheap in leather. That's me.
Yeah, awesome. We need to talk.
Yeah.
But I think actually Dernier Leather just closed up shop.
Yes,
so
they did,
was,
but that
good
was mainstream
sale.
Made in China leather.
Yeah.
That wasn't, they had abandoned their leather ethos of integrity to the higher ideal, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And great for them. They posted their profits all over the place and opened up stores and brought leather to everybody. Great. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't always that good leather.
Yeah,
we're gonna jump to the Peaches song that's just been remixed called Close Up, and we actually have a phone call coming in, so we'll pick that up in a second. But this is Close Up by Peaches from her all female producer remixes of her work. Anyway, we'll be back in just a few seconds. Ready?
get a close up. Let me get a close up. Are you ready?
Hello and welcome back to the Velvet Studio, home to Ottawa's Queen Media. I think it's really interesting that Peach has actually got all female producers to remix her album from last year. The remix is of which will be coming out in a double LP on May the 27th. So this is actually...
Do you remember what LP stands for?
Long play.
I know that you know.
Yeah. Luke bought vinyl recently, and I'm trying to teach him the
congratulations.
Terminology.
Congratulations. Yeah. I got rid of mine when I moved to Vancouver.
You did not.
I had to sell it because I wasn't going to ship it at $1 a pound or more to Vancouver from Ottawa. No. I got rid of, unfortunately, such great vinyl classics. It hurts me every time I think about it. But that's another
story.
He has
a triple album.
Gloria Gaynor live.
No, it was Diana Ross. Not Diana Ross.
Oh, is it Diana Ross?
Summer. Donna Summer.
There we go.
Yeah.
I love to love you, baby.
Yeah. Two of the albums are live, and the third one's just like a rare.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Speaking of rare, how's your meat?
Anyway.
What is the context?
I have no idea.
See, that's, we're talking about bears, Yeah. We're highly sexualized, so there you go. You all jump.
What's
there.
The difference between the more straight leather community and the more gay community?
Well, you could also say men versus women, and
there are separations that the whole gay gamut runs together in some ways. But in terms of the difference between straight and gay, is in gay leather, otherwise known as leather. As far as I'm concerned, because I'm egotistical that way. In leather, on this side of the coin, we are out. We are out about our names. We are out about what we do.
Yeah.
Very, very few guys in leather and very few women in leather on our side of the coin use scene names or fake names or aliases, like Master So-and-So, Master This, Master That. Unless you actually use your name, like Master Mike or Master John, those sorts of things.
I know Master John.
We also have Master Bader, but that's another story.
Yeah. That's Luke.
It's actually his last name is Bader, but that's another story.
I started a hotel.
We use our names. We are us. We are bald to the community, even though we're wearing leather. Everything we do has our name attached. We don't hide behind an anonymous name.
Mm-hmm.
We don't hide behind sub handcuff or whatever, any kind of scene name. Whereas in the more straight community, and you can't call them straight, they're queer, but they don't identify as that, usually. They hide behind names because they are still not out in what they do, because they technically can lose their jobs, they can lose their families, they can lose their careers, they can lose their lives in Canada as well as in the United States and many places around the world. If you are kinky, you can lose your job. If you are kinky,
But that's their perception. Like, listen, I've said this story many times. Like, I have my legal name on Facebook.
Yes, you do.
All over. And I worked as a supply teacher at daycare for like 5.5 years, different centers.
Yeah.
And everyone knew what I was doing. Like,
the kids' parents?
You know what? I never hid it from them.
See, it doesn't. No, if you don't hide it, there's nothing to worry about.
I don't. I never hid it.
But if they're not aware of it, yeah, then again, there's nothing to worry about. But if somebody becomes aware of it, mm-hmm, and you are in a position of influence over children, they might, because there's a lot of freaks out there who believe that everything we do is the devil's work. Mm. Mm-hmm. You know, you run the risk of.
There were two parents that I was very close to that because I looked after their children outside of work. They knew.
Yeah.
So those parents knew, and it's like because
the culture is we can't be out because we have too much to lose, which is the where the gay culture was across the board up until in Canada up until even 2000, you could see it in a lot of places, and since 2000, people are more out.
I've spoken to a lot of friends of mine who work in the government, and they were saying, you know, you can't be fired for that because it's
it's
sexual orientation.
Canadian government. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you're in the States.
Yeah, if you're in the States, yes.
You have no protections if you're gay. You have no protections
if you're kinky.
I mean,
let's face it, you're totally screwed if you're in the States.
Not all of the States. I think it depends.
But in general, the cultures.
Don't go to Georgia.
No, God, that's another story today. Where were we?
Differences
between straight and gay.
People using different names.
And so the impression is that in this more straight leather, there's more to hide or more to be hidden, which then can lead to a subversion of the integrity of truth.
Do they wear masks and things
often,
that hide
Okay. People will show up at a party in a mask and refuse to take it off because they don't want people to know who they are because they have a job as X, Y, or Z. Mm-hmm. And they are afraid they'll lose their job.
Is the kind of things that they wear, is it different as well? Like, is the straight leather look different from the gay leather look?
It's like the difference between people from Ottawa and people from Montreal. We're all human, but people from Montreal dress with style. You know what I'm saying? We can all wear the same thing, but it just doesn't fit right unless you grew up in the milieu.
Yeah.
If you're wearing gay leather and you're wearing gay leather as a straight person, nobody really could tell the difference except in how it's worn.
Yeah.
So the accessories are the same.
Okay.
The clothes are the same.
For sure.
It comes across as
dress up.
A little more dress up, a little more S&M, stand and model.
Mm-hmm.
You know
what
I mean?
Yeah.
There's a lot of pretense. There's a lot of artifice
in
both leather and in straight leather. But it seems to be more prevalent in what I would call straight leather.
When would somebody go about buying leather?
Ooh, great idea. Great concept here. You go online and you buy stuff and you find it really cheap and it turns out it's made in China or Pakistan and it looks really good but it doesn't stand up to wear and tear. So what you do is you go, how do I find the stuff that really stands up to wear and tear? Because we wear it during sex. It's supposed to be robust.
Wouldn't it get warm?
Oh, yeah, that's part of it.
It depends on what you're wearing.
Yeah.
Like, if you wear a harness.
If you're wearing a harness, you want a harness. Well, a harness originally was used as something to hold on to in sex.
Yeah.
So, because the sex is more robust, if you will, or violent, if you will. It depends on your interpretation. It's robust because there's a lot of tugging and pulling and pushing each other around and rolling around randomly
together.
I remember
when I was like in my young 20s, I met somebody who was kinky. It was the first person I met who actually wore kinkwear in their daily life.
Yeah.
And I said, like, I have no idea what the harness thing is about. Is it just a look? And he said, his answer was simply, sweaty bodies are slippery and hard to get a grip on.
Yeah.
That was
easy to hold the leather
when leather gets damp, you can get a better grip.
Yeah. A little bit, because you don't slide as much on the leather when it's... But that
depends on the nature of the leather. Like, if it's patent leather, like, woo, boom, straight out the window.
I do have some dress leather that is not what I would call robust wear. It's kid skin and calf skin, and it's extremely soft leather, and it will tear at a heartbeat. Okay. And if anybody grabs it while I'm wearing it, I will nail them with my fist. I'm just saying that, but I want to nail them with my fist. Don't pull it. It will stretch and be out of shape. Oh, my God, I'm so gay about this. This is my clothes.
But there's a lot of care and attention and, you know, there's a degree of pride of ownership of this material.
Yeah, and the thing is, it's not cheap. So there's more to it than just pride of ownership. It's like, if this breaks, I have to get it repaired, and that's going to cost money. Or it can't be repaired, and it has to be either repurposed or left to rot in a landfill, which is not nice. Mm-hmm. So to get good quality leather, you go to places like Priap in Montreal. They used to be elsewhere as well, but they reorganized and went back just to Montreal. You can buy their stuff online. North Brown Leather has both the fashion leather and what I call the working leather, or the robust stuff. And they're in Toronto. They're also online. You can buy leather from Fetish Armada in Montreal. And that is, again, the same stuff. It's for show and for play.
I think that you can get Mr. S in the States as well. Yeah. And she also has that online.
Yeah, and there's small makers in every city. The problem is most people don't know about them unless you're hooked up into the network. And the
only way to how do you hook into the network? Let's say if
you go to the competition and you talk to people. That's really cool. Where'd you get it?
How would you find out about the competition?
You can go most places online. Or they're advertised in bars, or they're advertised on street posts. It's not what you would consider a mainstream advertising, because, quite frankly, we don't always want the mainstream there. The mainstream will treat us like freak shows.
Did you see one leather event in the Pride Guide?
That was my leather event.
Yeah.
Rarely more.
Yeah.
But usually there's
That's because it wasn't part of Pride, and it was given a mention because of the word Pride in National Capital Leather Pride. It was not part of Pride Week. It has never been part of Pride Week, and it's no longer even close to Pride Week. So it's not going to be in the next Pride Guide.
Okay.
Because it's in April.
But
yeah.
To stick to Sebastian's point,
yeah.
Rule of thumb, there's usually a leather event in most Pride.
That's right. So what happens is you stumble across it if you're not in the community. And with the internet, you're going to stumble across it a lot easier. Yeah. You just Google whatever city leather event or whatever city gay leather.
I bet there's a Reddit. I'm going to look this up.
And there's so many different things. Every bar, every leather bar seems to have a competition.
How
every
welcoming.
Leather organization seems to have a competition.
How welcoming is the leather community across the country?
Once you're in, it's brotherhood. Getting in is intimidating because most people approach it from, these people are all scary, they're going to tear me apart. And sometimes we play up that stereotype because it can be fun. Just like when Americans go, do you live in igloos? We play it up sometimes because it's fun. But that being said, we also know that unless people come into the community's not going to go anywhere and it's going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. So we encourage people many people encourage people to just show up. You don't even have to be in leather. Just show up. Do your part in the community. If you want to be accepted in leather, in gay leather, you do community work. You help people out. You put yourself on the line. You are out there doing stuff with no expectation of return other than that work needs to be done. And then you're accepted because it's a higher level of integrity at those levels. Otherwise, it's just another circuit party. Mm-hmm. Just like the Pet Shop Boys. Mm-hmm. And it can be that. And we revel in that as well. All the stereotypes are real, but each one is just another facet of the diamond.
So well said.
Thank you.
He's so well spoken. I just...
Sometimes I stumble over my words all the time.
No, yeah. You're really great.
I did find actually there's a couple hundred hits if you look up leather in Reddit. Scanning through them, about a quarter of them are actually leather community related. There's one specifically for women who are into pegging and also leather.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So
you'll find pegging in the gay community.
And you might want to Google that one, safe search on, just because. Yeah.
Or say search off.
That's
wink, wink.
It's lunchtime.
Don't use your visual. Don't use Google images until you've seen all first. Because images, quite frankly, can be disturbing to some people.
Yeah, absolutely.
That being said, I've taken Safe Search off a long time ago because I educate people in this stuff. I need to see what's out there.
Now, have you had the experience, Shade, of the leather community being welcoming? And
absolutely. Like 100%.
Well, you came to leather through kink.
Absolutely.
And once you go in leather, there's no turning back. Yeah. It's there.
Exactly.
Some people. Yeah.
I find the leather community welcoming, and I'm neither kinky nor leather. Yeah. Like, I just show up, and they're like, oh, you're not in leather. I'm like, I have a thing for guys in Argyle sweater vests. And they're like, oh, okay. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, you have a thing. It's not my thing, but you have a thing.
Exactly.
I get that.
Sometimes I dress as Mr. Cotton Polly 2010.
Guys in Argyle sweater vests, be warned. Sebastian's,
don't you have an Argyle sweater vest?
Actually, I do have one.
Yeah, see? Anyway.
That's sadly all we have time for this week. Next week,
I just really want to quickly mention National Capital Leather Pride Weekend.
That's true. It's
April 14th to the 17th.
If you're in the Ottawa area, totally come check it out. But as I mentioned, that's all we've got time for. Next week, we're talking about neuroatypical relationships, which is a very interesting
neuroatypical
show.
Neuroatypical.
That's what I said.
You said it very quickly.
Neuroatypical.
Okay. Anyway, this is Years and Years. I'm a big fan of this band, and this is Desire featuring Tove Lo, and we'll be back next week. Thank
I love
so
you all.
Bye.
Love you all. Bye. I must keep fighting. Don't give it up. I want to keep us compromising. Open your arms and pray to the truth that you're denying. Give in to the game, to the sense that you've been hiding. Where are you taking me? I can't be blamed. I want you to want me again. Is it desire? Nothing but giving, making me lose my cool.